It is time for Stern Talk, one of our favorite segments of the week. I know the listeners love it as well. With the Texan season over now, Clint, our goal is to find a way to keep doing Stern Talk, but centered around something other than the Texans, because we don't have any more Texans football this year. That will be a project for next week. For now, we do have one more Texans game for you to dig into. Unfortunately, it is a loss. 21-7, the Colts beat the Texans on Saturday afternoon. So let's get it started. And the Texans, they were able to get the Colts into a couple third down situations during the first drive of the game. They had a third and 12, first series of downs, couldn't get off the field. A couple third downs that were third and medium that turned into third and short because of offsides penalties. And then a second and 10 from the Houston 44-yard line turned into this.
Second and 10 at the Houston 44. Luck out of the gun, gets the snap. Deeper drop, steps to his right, fires deep downfield, right side, wants Hilton, and he's got it inside the 10-yard line. What a reception at the 6.
What a
first
throw.
And goal.
So all week long, we talked about you got to stop T.Y. Hilton. You got to bracket T.Y. Hilton. You got to double T.Y. Hilton. You got to take T.Y. Hilton out of the game. And before there's even 4 minutes gone in the game, he's made a field position swinging touchdown.
That's
setting
63
up play.
63 yards receiving on the first possession of the game.
And finished with 85. Like, that was, you know, they shut him down pretty good the rest of the way. But this, to me, was a message shot early in the game.
Yeah, and you know, I thought it was a great call by the defense. You mentioned the struggles defensively. I think a lot of that had to do with penalties, obviously. They shot themselves in the foot a couple times with penalties. But this play here, this was a terrible terrible decision by Andrew Luck to throw this football. This is a very ill-advised throw. This is a negative. Even though it was caught, this is a negative on his grade sheet after the game.
High risk.
High risk, low reward, dumb decision, because this is a cover two. Tampa two. They made it. Monty Kiffin in Tampa made it popular back in the day when they were making their runs with Gruden and those guys. But it's cover two, and the middle linebacker bails, because I told you guys last time, if it's cover two, you want to attack the void over the linebackers and inside the safety. So the void at about 15 to 25 yards deep and from hash to hash, the middle of the field, that's what you want to attack versus cover two. Well, cover two Tampa was invented because the defenses knew that that's where we were trying to attack. So they would take the middle linebacker and bail him hard to the middle of the field, deeper than the deepest. You're going to run with any kind of seam route that's getting ran up the hash,
which was McKinney on this play.
No. T.Y.
But McKinney on defense,
the linebacker.
Oh yes,
Bernard,
I'm sorry. McKinney, yes. So the defense, you got cover two over the top, two safeties deep. You got Cunningham that's mugging T.Y. off of the ball, and then you've got McKinney who's the middleman in the Tampa two coverage. He opens to T.Y. Hilton and runs with him deep. If you watch the film, what happens is Tyrann Mathieu is the opposite side of the field, that cover two safety. So he's got that whole half of the field. And he bites down on about a 10 or 12-yard corner route to the opposite sideline.
Yeah.
So that widened the void in the middle of the field and really put McKinney in a bad spot.
Looking at it right now.
They did a great job of at least disrupting him off the line of scrimmage with Cunningham, running McKinney in his hip pocket up the middle of the field. The weak side safety, Tyrann Mathieu, bit on the corner, widened that void and allowing that football to get in there. But even with all that said, that was a terrible decision by Andrew Luck. Them boys must be living right in Indy.
Three plays before that, the penalty you're alluding to, J.J. jumps off sides, turns a third and seven into an easily convertible third and two.
Yep. The penalties just absolutely killed him. You don't ever take the aggression away from these guys, but the penalties on the defense side of the football coming out of the chute killed them as far as getting off the field on third down.
So that put the Colts up. The next play. Put the Colts up 7-0 early on, the 60-yard touchdown pass to Eric Ebron. Texans then go 3-and-out on their first offensive possession, and the Colts are right back at it again on their second offensive possession, this time running the ball a bunch and going up 14-0. As a result, the Texans' second possession consisted of 10 plays, 7 of them with Deshaun Watson throwing the football. This was the last one.
Fourth down and 4 at the Colts 45-yard line. Watson takes the snap. Deshaun looking, and he throws, and it's intercepted and picked off by Moore, and he's brought down across the 50, and the Colts celebrate.
Before you break this down, Clint, I want to know where you stand on this because we talked about this a lot in the immediate wake of that game. I understand when you're down 14-0, things can change in terms of your strategy. But like I said, that was a 10-play drive, 7 passes from Deshaun Watson. I feel like there was a little panic. It was still the first quarter. I know you're down big 14-0, but I didn't think that was time to ditch the game plan.
The first quarter of this game is film that needs to be burnt. It was absolutely terrible. The penalties I mentioned on the defensive side of the football, the plan, the play calling, the execution on the offensive side of the football, Deshaun Watson just was out of sorts the entire football game. This first quarter, it needs to be burnt. I mean, there's not a whole lot of good to come from it. Not a whole lot of coaching can come from it other than, hey, we played like trash and we need to burn it and move on. But this particular play, Deshaun was full. They went empty. They went a form of true cover two, which is 2 safeties deep, 5 defenders underneath. And I believe that Deshaun Watson thought this was cover two man. So there's 2 different types of cover two. They can play man or they can play zone, which is cover two man is 2 over the top, 2 safeties free over the top, covering deeper than the deepest. And then you've got everybody manned up underneath. When it's zoned, it's 2 guys deep, deeper than the deepest. And then you got 5 guys splitting the field underneath. They got the underneath zones from the line of scrimmage to about 12, 14 yards deep, and they're splitting 5 sections across the field. Now, sometimes those are linebackers, sometimes they're corners, DBs. It doesn't matter who it is. It's a defender in those spots. I believe that Deshaun Watson thought this was 2-man. And what happened was QT was in the slot to the left. They went empty. He was in the slot. He was a middle receiver to the left, and he had a go route, which he was just going to run the defender off, and then Griffin was going to run a little option route, a little out route, which looks like it was going to be a throw in the ocean if it would have been two man. And so it looks like Deshaun got fooled. It was actually true 2 zone. The defender did not run with QT, and when he turned around, the ball hit him right in the chest. The ball was right there. I believe Deshaun Watson was completely fooled on this play, and it happens in football.
It's so funny you say that. I couldn't wait to see you break down this play because Dan Orlovsky broke this exact play down on, I think it was on the Greeny show there, Get Up or whatever it is. And the way he put it was that the Colts lied to Deshaun Watson.
Right.
They even showed man with who they ran Darius Leonard out.
Yeah.
To the sideline with Lamar Miller to make it look like it was man, and then they dropped him into zone.
Yeah, is what you're talking about. That's the game has changed so much, Sean. I mean, that's actually the first time that I've ever seen a defender travel from one side of the football to the other. So usually when I come to the line as a quarterback, and our main reason you use motion is if the defender follows that guy across the formation, then you know for sure it's some kind of man-to-man coverage.
Right.
Nowadays, they're disguising it. They're traveling with him and disguising it. Sometimes, Sean, they're playing zone to one side of the field and man to the other. And offenses are having to process that and figure things out. So it's always changing, man. There's no doubt about it.
So the Texans go out on that fourth down, fourth and 4. By the way, real quick, did you agree or disagree with the decision to go for it there on 4th and 4 at the 45-yard line of the Colts?
If you've got your full crew, you got all your guys at Fuller and QT and everybody's healthy and you're hitting on all cylinders, I'm all about being aggressive. But with this particular football team at that point in time, you know, I think you've got to realize that Deshaun's not seeing things real clearly. He's a little bit disturbed in the pocket. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it was a good game time feel for your team and where they're at. I can't disagree with being aggressive. But I think you got to have a little more feel about your quarterback and your offense and your personnel than that early. Place. Yeah.
All right. So the Colts get the ball back, and once again, they're just driving right down the field, slicing and dicing the Texans. They get down to the Texans' 17-yard line, and finally, something breaks right for the Texans.
First down at the Houston 17, Luck under center. Little play fake, steps, fires to the left side. It's tipped, and it's intercepted. Brandon Dunn with the deflected pick. Just what the doctor ordered.
A pick by Brandon Dunn. We love it when fat guys make skinny guy plays. Brandon Dunn with what may have been the first interception of his, you know, maybe going back to Pee Wee ball. But J.J. Watt makes this play with the deflection of the pass, and Brandon Dunn does make a nice play to get that ball. Texans didn't do anything with it, but what did you see here?
Well, Texans bring pressure. They got 5 down linemen, and the Colts actually max protected, and the Texans were still able to get a hand on the football. But what J.J. did was he engaged the guard. I'm not sure who their guard was.
It was Nelson. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, so he engages the guard with both hands. This just shows the power of of J.J. Watt, but he engages him with both hands, and he pulls him to him as he rips outside, a rip move with just a – he just rips his left shoulder down and through as he's, if he's going to outside rush. And that move put him in the throwing lane of Andrew Luck trying to hit the flat route and was able to get a hand on the ball. But if you watch that play, I'm going to tell you one person that's happy that J.J. Watt got through there and forced Andrew Luck to get through his read, I believe, is right again. Because if you watch, they blew a combo coverage in the secondary.
Yep.
The corner route is a throw in the ocean for a touchdown.
Yep.
The old Andrew Luck hits that. I think Andrew Luck right now is getting through. He sensed the pressure. Great. This is a great point, Sean. You talked about it earlier. The new Andrew Luck, he stays out of chaotic situations. The old one would have sat in there, probably got hit in the face, but he would have thrown a touchdown. The new one comes off of that, doesn't have time to wait for that route and let everything happen and unfold up top. He just comes down. He's trying to hit the flat as a check down, and J.J. Watt gets his hand on it.
I'm watching what you were talking about, Clint, the confusion in the secondary. I mean, Keystone Cops.
Yeah.
Two guys.
Chemistry, brother.
Communication, chemistry. I don't know what you want to call it.
When you start getting guys go down like they have in the secondary and you're trying to disguise coverages, that right there is more of a lot of times versus a bunch look or versus a cut receiver. Like he cut his splits real far down. And so a lot of times, so you're taking whoever releases inside. The inside DB will take him. Whoever releases outside, the outside DB take him. So you kind of let them decide who's going to guard who.
Yep.
Unfortunately, these DBs don't have really good chemistry. You got a lot of guys that are injured, haven't played a lot together. Even some of the guys that came back haven't spent a lot of time with these guys. And so you can see in those types of situations where the communication, they struggle.
And, Sean, you alluded to it. The Texans unable to capitalize on that takeaway with a scoring opportunity. As a matter of fact, they couldn't even flip field position off that takeaway. Started the possession on their own 15-yard line, went three and out. Along the way during that three and out, another penalty, this time Kiki QT with an illegal formation. They punt. Colts take over at their own 35-yard line. Takes them all of five plays to get as close as the Texans' 18-yard line. Once they get there, that was the play where Justin Reed went down and did not come back. The next play, the Colts used a guy who was a former undrafted free agent who wasn't even on their roster to start this season to victimize the Texans.
Second and 10, Colts at the Houston 18. One back, Mack. Out of the gun. Luck puts the leg down. Here's the snap. Luck with time, and he floats the ball left side of the end zone. Wide open, Inman. Touchdown, Indy.
Dontrell Inman, the latest to kind of embarrass the Texans.
And Sharice Wright.
Yeah, Sharice Wright. You know, he's getting a little bit of a bad rap on most of the routes that I've seen him get beat on are the sluggo, which apparently, Rich, is your go-to route.
Yeah, Rich runs that route.
Don't mess with me
on that. That's right. I'm with you, man. I'll give you a good pump fake and throw it over your outside shoulder, see if you can go get it. But this was a true corner. I mean, here's the thing is he is – let's make it clear, this guy's not a corner. This guy's not a man corner. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He's not a man corner. Because just from an understanding of the defense, right here, he is put on an island. There's no doubt about it that it's a 3-by-1 formation. He's manned up on the backside. They're shading the free safety. It's a man-to-man coverage. And they're going to shade the free safety over wherever T.Y. Hilton is. There's no doubt about it. This entire game plan, whether it was a zone, they were going to shade T.Y. Hilton. If it was man, the free safety was going to shade T.Y. Hilton. A lot of like what we've seen happen versus Hopkins all year long. Very, very similar, even though I think the Texans went a little bit extreme with it because their backside corner is probably their fifth or sixth best corner a lot of the times. And here's the deal. He's put on an island. So I want everybody to understand, we got to pump our brakes just a little bit. The guy's put on an island. He's not capable of this play. He's put in a bad situation by the circumstances and the call. But in this particular instance, he should know he has help inside, and he should maintain outside leverage at all cost. He bites inside on a little bit of a post fake, and then when he goes to the corner, it's wide open. I'll tell you what Indy did here was they released, I believe it was a tailback, that they released into the flats, which pulled the underneath coverage down right now. So it gave everybody a clean, very, very clean picture of, okay, this is where I'm going with the football. All you've got to do, big guy, is beat that man-to-man coverage, and we're gonna give it to you over the top. Very, very clean picture for Andrew Luck.
All right, for the second time in the half, the Texans go for it on fourth down. This was a 4th-and-1 on the Indy 9-yard line late in the half. Texans didn't kick a field goal. I think the right decision there to go for it on 4th down, especially 4th-and-1. I'm not sure about the play call, but it looked like it was there. Watson may have just missed this one.
on fourth and one at the Colts 9. QT in motion to the left side. Long count for Deshaun. Watson takes the snap out of the gun, throws over the middle, and incomplete. He wanted Hopkins. Texans turn it over on downs.
Man, you just got so used to Watson and Hopkins just making that magic happen on these plays that you had to have. Saturday wasn't that day.
Yeah, it gets tough down there in the red zone, man. When you get inside the 10-yard line, boy, your margin of error is very, very slim. And this is a situation here where, as a quarterback, you get overexcited because right here is you had Hopkins to the quarterback's left by himself in a little bit of a cut split, and Kiki QT motions to him. And what you're trying to do there, he's motioning right to left to Hopkins. Now, knowing that he was running a slant, all you're trying to do is to get those backers to bump just a little bit and give the quarterback that window to throw to. You can see pre-snap from the view behind the center, behind the quarterback, that there is a 10-yard window between the two backers and the safety's over the top. So this is truly going to be a throw in the ocean. As the motion comes across underneath Deshaun Watson, he sees the backers bump, and he's got to get excited and go, we got a touchdown right here, boys. Let's go celebrate.
Yep.
Watch the play to the end, though. The Colts had a great plan. Now, I don't know if it was to stop the slant or if it is a spy on Deshaun Watson, but the defensive lineman, number 92, I believe he was lined up in the A-gap.
Yep.
Watch him bail almost directly into that slant window, and he disrupts Deshaun Watson just enough to make the throw low. It's like Deshaun sees him last second, but all it was the D-lineman that bailed right in. And here's the kicker, though, Sean. There's no way by design that the Colts leave that window that wide if they didn't know that defensive, which obviously they knew,
yep.
But the Texans should have known, hey, that's a little bit too big of a window right there.
Yep.
Clearly that D-lineman's fixing to open up and bail into it. But that D-lineman, he won right there.
That play was second quarter, Texans down 21-0. Fast forward to the fourth quarter, and it's still 21-0. But they got a little something going on offense. They put together a 16-play drive, 13 of the 16 plays featuring either Deshaun Watson rushing the football or throwing the football, mostly throwing the football. They wind up on the Colts 6-yard line. They actually put some points on the board.
Third down and four at the Indy 6. Watson takes the snap, looking, hits QT, left side, QT across the 5, going for the pylon, and he's in! Touchdown, Houston! Kiki QT, his 10th catch of the game, a new Texans playoff record, and he gets Houston on the board for the first time in this playoff game.
And we all know in hindsight that was pretty much the highlight of the game for the Texans, but you know, there were still over 11 minutes to go in this game, and it was a 14-point game. Bigger outcomes or bigger holes or deficits have been overcome with 11 minutes to go.
Yeah, and they had moved the football and had some opportunities, just a couple of failed fourth downs and an interception really put them in a bad spot. But, you know, this is just all that window dressing that Bill O'Brien likes, especially if Kiki QT or Fuller's in the game, where he motions into the backfield, and then after the snap, you know, that the Deshaun Watson and Lamar Miller will fake. They'll give you a little action, a little play action real quick, a little token fake right there. And then QT either goes out to the right of the quarterback or around the left behind the quarterback. Right here, he goes behind Deshaun Watson. He's essentially an outlet. He's just an outlet if the throws downfield don't work. So often in this offense, we see that backfield action coupled with a deep post and a shallow, or not a shallow, but a mid-range crosser is what we see usually. They were so tight in the red zone that you essentially got two deep crossers, which is really a good plan. You got two guys running the back line of the end zone. You got a lot of windows there. But at this point in the game, I think somebody had been in Deshaun's ear about, hey, we got to get through your progressions and get the ball checked down, get it out quickly to Lamar Miller, or in this case, to Kiki QT. But he got through his progression, rightfully so. There was nothing open downfield. The two crossers were dead in the water. So he just flipped it out to Kiki QT, and he goes and makes a catch. But that's where this offense is at, is if you can check it to Lamar Miller or check it to Kiki QT underneath coverage, those guys can go give you extra yards after catch.
Yeah, yep, they are good after the catch.
And that's why it's so frustrating when you're watching them of just get through your progressions, yep. Man. Just get it down. Don't waste downs.
Stern talk. Clint.
Killed it.
You nailed it as always. Of course, that one felt more like reading an autopsy report than anything else.
but you still
did an outstanding job. I just want you to know that. But what a depressing game. Wow.